Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. I think seduction is a very, very fun thing to talk about, just the word itself. I don't know actually how to say it in any other languages that I speak, which is even funnier. I've never thought about it in like Slavic languages, so never thought about it that way. And I don't think I've ever even looked up the word seduction in French either. It's funny, I only know it in English. So what I would love to see first and foremost, if you speak another language other than English, how do you say seduction? I'd love to see that in the comments below. How do you say seduction in any other language other than English? Please share. I think it would be interesting to see if it's as fun to say in other languages as it is in English. Seduction. It's something that happens on the tongue that just makes it really fun. So we're going to be talking about the science of seduction today, the hormones, the attitude, everything that we bring to the table, the psychology, all of it. How do you actually invite yourself into being the seductor, seductress that you might really be and have fun with seduction? What does it mean? Sometimes people are scared of that word too, seduction. It's as if somebody seduces you, so it's as if you didn't have a choice. I got a whole list in front of me, French. I'm probably going to say a lot of these wrong, but I'm going to say them anyway. And please, I'd love to hear audios on these words because I especially love to hear it in Spanish. If you're a Spanish speaker, send that over. So French, seduction, seduction. Spanish would be probably close, seduction. German would be Verführung, Verführung, perhaps. Italian, seduzione. Portuguese, seduzao, seduzao, seduzao. Yeah. Japanese, yuaku. Don't know. I am probably pronouncing all those so totally wrong. Apologies. And that was fun to try. I am not even going to put an attempt on Mandarin. Can't even imagine what the accents on those letters mean. So not even going to go there. Throw me some other ones out there. Love to know. So can't believe I don't even know how to say it in Serbian. That is just too weird. All right. So tonight we're going to be talking all about so many different things. We're going to be talking about psychological principles behind attraction and desire, goal setting strategies for mastering seduction techniques, and the role of dopamine and oxytocin in intimacy and connection, along with fun exercises to build confidence and enhance your seduction skills. So I don't know about you, but I, for a very long time in my life, was very uncomfortable with the idea of seducing. I think there's maybe like a short period in my teen years where I loved seduction. And then in my 20s, I really didn't want to seduce at all, probably trauma-based from some stuff that happened in my mid-20s that I really didn't even want to attract anybody. And I probably, as a result, put out a vibe for that. Although I was in relationships, I wasn't in very functional relationships because the vibe I had was that I was really trying not to attract too much attention. And then at some point during my healing process, which is my whole life and still ongoing, I think I stepped into a feeling of wanting to know what it feels like to feel empowered through the sexualness or the sexual energy that I have, and to feel empowered with it rather than feel victim or victimized because of it. And I wanted to see, like, how could I flip this around? And there are quite a few really good books out there on seduction. There's one by a guy whose last name is Green. It's about an 18-hour read. It's a mega book. I can't, his last name is Green. That's all I remember. And the book is named Seduction. It's a great read because it looks at it from so many perspectives. I'll see if I can find that during break to give you guys. So when it comes to seduction, we're going to be looking at, I think the first thing, we're going to look at the psychological principles. Because when it comes to seduction, we need to actually understand what attracts us and what we feel is attractive about us. And that's part of the psychology. And in the psychology of who we are, it really helps to start to do some work, self-evaluations to figure out who you are and to figure out also who you're attracted to and maybe why, because sometimes you might be seduced by somebody, but it might be your trauma that is attracted to them. And you're looking for somebody to look after you, or you're looking for comfort because your inner child is still feeling really wounded. And that can be okay. It can be functional for a time, as long as both partners are healing and they don't play that role for each other forever. Otherwise, you create enmeshment and dependency and codependency in ways that will keep you feeling trapped rather than having growth. So when we look at some of the things that we need to do in order to feel and know more about ourselves and feel more confident about ourselves is that we need to have a whole bunch of different qualities that will help us feel attractive. Now, I actually was just doing a little something with a client the other day. So if you're curious, I'm going to grab that. I don't usually like roll away from the camera during a show, but I'm going to for a second right now, in case you're watching. And I think one of the things you can start to look at for yourself, and you can rate these. So if you're driving, don't do that right now, but you can use this as sort of a gauge about, some of the qualities you have. So this is an assessment that I have that I can give you. If you're interested, you can always send me an email through militzayelenich.com, and that email will come to me personally. So go on my website, MILICAJELENIC, and I'll be happy to give you these qualities to assess for yourself. And maybe at some point I'll put this on my website as well as a free download. So we've got 25 of them, and all of these are rated from 1 to 10. So remember to score yourself. So under confidence, to look at the sentence and see how much you agree or disagree with it. So agreeing would be 10, disagreeing would be 1. I feel secure in myself and my abilities. How do you feel about that? I show compassion and kindness to others regularly. I can make people laugh and enjoy playful moments. I recognize and manage my own emotions effectively. I have interests or goals that I pursue with enthusiasm. I actively set and work toward personal and professional goals. I engage well in conversations and captivate people's attention. I take care of my appearance and hygiene. I continually learn and engage in stimulating discussions. I maintain a positive outlook and find solutions and challenges. I am truthful and authentic in my relationships. I am open to new experiences and challenges. I can take care of myself emotionally and financially. I take responsibility for my actions and decisions. I empathize with others and support those in need. I stay true to who I am without pretending to be someone else. I embrace fun, spontaneity, and lightheartedness. I freely give time, energy, and support to others. I am trustworthy and stand by the people I care about. I allow myself to be vulnerable and connect deeply. I express myself clearly and listen actively. I maintain an element of curiosity and excitement. I am comfortable in my body and express my sensual nature. I treat others with dignity and honor boundaries. I am fully engaged and attentive with others. So depending on how you rated yourself from 1 to 10, you can look at those qualities and you can decipher whether, you know, one of the things you can see is where there's work to be done to actually bring up and enhance some of your qualities that would help you become attractive. So if you're looking to seduce people, you're going to need to have attractive qualities. And if you scored really low on a lot of those, then there's a lot of work to be done. If you scored really high on a lot of those and you're not attracting people, then the question would be, have you been really honest with that? Truly honest with yourself and your answers? And if you have been, are you going places where there are other human beings, or are you being a hermit? Because if you have all these attractive qualities and you're going out in public, the chances are people will just be drawn to you. It'll be one of those things where people will just start talking to you and you don't know why, or if you start talking to them, they're comfortable enough that they talk with you so you can create conversations. So if you're like really low on the scale and you're like, how do I even develop these qualities? There are definitely techniques to begin to learn certain things. Like if you're not really sure about how to be a good listener, then learning listening techniques, which we talked about last week, things like reflecting language back to each other. Active listening is part of that reflecting. And if you're finding that, you know, you're maybe having a hard time navigating your feelings or regulating your emotions, then finding either different coaches that can help you with that. Also, I would say different healers and different practitioners of different therapeutic things, like therapeutic play, as well as other trauma-based healing techniques like somatic breath work, somatic body work, and learning how to regulate your feelings, getting in contact with your inner child and hanging out with them, entertaining them on a regular basis. Because until you do entertain them on a regular basis, they rule your life. And then you end up acting out and you don't know why. And so being aware of that, consciously aware of when, you know, the inner child's running the roost, and not necessarily letting your inner child run the roost, becoming aware of it and then making a choice as to how you want to navigate that, you can go, oh, you know what? I'm acting like a real brat right now. I just need a minute. And you can go have a little conversation with yourself and like, what is it that's coming up that's having me act like a brat right now? Oh, so maybe I need space. Maybe physically I need to be removed from this area and have time out, give myself a time out. Maybe I need to have more of a, what's the word for it? Or maybe I need to play. Maybe I just need something different, right? So check in on yourself on those circumstances. So all of those 10, if you're scoring high, fantastic. You are likely going to be attracting quite a few people because those are attractive qualities to have. And if you're not scoring high and you would like to have some, you know, if you'd like to actively work towards that, and you're looking at your list and you're like, holy cow, like I'm not scoring very high on any of these things, and you would like some tips and tools and methods on how to shift that and feel more attractive or more sensual, I'm happy to coach you with that. Everybody has the potential to attract somebody. And some people are naturally more magnetic, more magnetized, more charismatic. And some people have more confidence, so their charisma shines more. And there are people who can develop it as well. And there are people who choose to never develop it, even though they had the potential to develop it. So it's a matter of, would you like to develop it, is the question. Because I don't think anybody is born to be dull and not attractive. It's that it's more, are you willing to let that part of you shine? Are you willing to be attractive? And who would you like to attract? There's the question. Right. So when you're looking at some of your qualities, you know, we kind of just did that list quickly, but looking at some of your qualities, what are some of the qualities that you feel that you have that are attractive? So I'd look at that for yourself, like knowing that confidence is a part of the whole process of seduction, and that people are generally naturally drawn to confident people. You can do a few things. You can, some top three things that you could start like today. I don't know if you've seen like the Wonder Woman pose or power poses, right? Like you can look up power poses if you like, try them out. They can start to shift your energy. One of the ones that I like to talk about, especially posturally, because people's posture says a lot about their confidence, is start with the one, and I call it get your head out of your heart's way. So it's to bring the middle of your chest up so that your heart, your like heart chakra, that area that's the center of your chest between your breasts or your boob, whatever, it's your chest, it's the middle of your chest. Bring that up like there's a string. So your heart goes to heaven and your head goes out of your heart's way. So your head will sit, and your body will be in alignment when you do that, and you lift, and then your body just naturally will be in an alignment. And then, if that gets uncomfortable, just pause and relax into it. Relaxing in your body is great too, but play with that during the first commercial break. Heart to heaven, keep your head out of your heart's way, brings your chest up, says you're open, says you're available, makes you more interesting. Try that while we're on break, and we're going to come back with some more psychological principles behind attraction and desire when we come back.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're talking all about seduction and how much fun we can have seducing. And I think part of it is to really get that when you're seducing, you're actually being incredibly comfortable in your body. You're having a lot of confidence. And one of the other things that you're doing is inviting people into your life, right? So seduction isn't just about having sex with people. It's about being the invitation for people to want to choose you. And whether that's in business or whether that's as a sexual partner, seduction is what lures people and is alluring to people to have you be part of their life. So if you're finding that you're lonely, and I gave you guys kind of a list of attractive qualities to assess yourself, I would hope that most of you who are feeling pretty good about yourself are falling between 7 and 8s on most of the scale. You're doing pretty good, even up to 10s. If you're under that on most of the things, and definitely connect with me just for fun. we can hop on a call for like 30 minutes and go through your list and your numbers that you went through on there and find out what you can do, some simple things that you could do to start improving your confidence. And as I mentioned before break, having that posture of success is, you know, it's really, that posture can say so much. Like I've seen people who will claim that they are, you know, experts in things and they'll say, yeah, I'm really like got a great business going on. And then their posture says that they're lying. And it's funny, you can see it in people's eyes. Sometimes you can see it in their posture, but it's one of the things that mostly happens is that people will shrink because they either can't own it. And sometimes they really are telling the truth, but they can't own it. They don't actually believe what they're saying, even though it could be true. They don't believe in themselves enough to be standing up for what they're talking about or what they're saying. I just notice it, especially with speakers. So having that posture of confidence, and I did a series through a summit where I had the posture of prosperity. So if that's a course you'd be interested in, I do offer that course. It's all pre-recorded. So you can do it in your own time. If that's something you're interested in, you can private message me through my website, miliatsayelenich.com, and I can send that out to you. There'll be just a small fee attached to that because everybody who was in the summit did have to pay for it. So there is a fee attached to that, but it's well affordable. I'll tell you that much. And what you gain from it with all of the different things that I show you how to improve your posture will definitely improve not only your posture, but then as a excellent consequence of that is that your confidence will also improve. So we've got posture going on. Then one of the other things that is important, which can be really hard if you are neurodivergent or neurodiverse, I always mix that up, is that having eye contact can be tricky because it can be really intense, but practicing eye contact, even for a few seconds, can be really helpful. If you're really interested in a person, looking at them directly might be both intimidating, but very interesting and exciting. So getting used to that can be helpful. Sometimes if you just stare at their one eye, it can be even more helpful. Like staring at their left eye can be more helpful than say trying to look at both eyes. I find if I try to look at somebody's both eyes, I start to go cross-eyed. So I just look at one eye, usually the left one. And I can't remember why. I just remember learning that somewhere and remembering it being effective. So I just go with it. So one of the other things around the psychology of attraction is that you don't want to give people too much information, but you also want to give them enough to be intrigued. And I think even for me, my career is so obscure to most people that it gets them asking questions, or what it'll do is it'll have people run away in fear. Either way, I know exactly where they stand with me. So, you know, if I'm out at events, if I'm networking and people ask me what I do, sometimes, and I could kind of see in their bodies if they can receive what I have to say about sex and intimacy coaching and relationship coaching, or whether, you know, what they really need to hear, because maybe they're standing there in pain, is that the work that I do with bodies, with somatic movement, would be more effective and helpful for them to help realize what's going on in their body. But then maybe it does end up being about the sex and intimacy coaching. Maybe they need an evaluation in a different way using other work that I do. So I actually make a lot of my introductions really personal to whoever I'm speaking with and whatever I can observe in them that I feel that they can receive. Not that I know what they can receive, but I have to evaluate the situation, right? So a lot of times people will only know maybe one or two aspects of what I offer in my life, in my business, or even who I am in the world, because I like to leave a little interest to like have people want to come back and learn more and more. And I think the only person, now this is ironic, the only person I didn't do that with was my husband. And on our very first date, we literally laid it all on the line, probably because I was nearing 40 and he was nearing 50 at the time. And we're like, who's got time to waste? You're either going to like me or not. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for in a relationship. This is what I like. This is what I'm into. I already kind of knew him previously because he'd been working on my house. So I like knew his music interests. I knew he loved cats. I knew a few things about him, but I didn't really know a lot. What I did know was that what I loved about that conversation, which is a conversation that most people would say, you don't have that conversation on a first date. I think our situation was different in that we already kind of knew each other from him working on my house. So it wasn't like a completely fresh start. So we could dive into these conversations that were super important and just find out, you know, is this what we want to do? Are we going to dive in on this and date or not? And I think it simplified things, and having some information like that, I think, is helpful. So definitely, though, leave a lot of your trauma stories to another day. You know, you don't have to like have your opening conversation be like, hi, my name is Hilda, and my dad used to beat me when I was 2 years old, and my mom ran away with the milkman. Like, no, you don't have to start with that introduction. I do know, though, that sometimes when you are neurodiverse, that it's hard not to, because you just feel compelled, right? So that's something to practice. And if you are with other neurodiverse people, they'll totally get it. But if you're not, if you're like with a neurotypical person and you're trying to have that conversation, it's a little bit trickier. So how to be seductive with different brain types? I think there's a science behind that too, and looking at like how different brains operate when it comes to attraction. I love when people can like dive in on things that they're interested in, even if I'm not interested in them. If you're fascinated by, say, like wine corks, and you can tell me all about like the 35 different kinds of wine corks, what they're used, I don't know actually how many different kinds of wine corks are, what they're used for, what the different shapes do, I'm in. I love people who have obscure expertise, and I want to know all of it. Even though it's not going to be my expertise, I love that stuff. And, you know, other people find that kind of thing completely boring and unnecessary conversation. But then again, those might not be your people. So if you are neurotypical, you're probably not going to have those conversations that are like, here are the 35 kinds of corkscrews. You're probably going to have conversations that start with the weather, politics, whether you're married or not, or what you do for a living. Those things are usually common. Where if you're maybe dating somebody who's neurodiverse, you're going to end up finding all their special interests probably in the first date. And other neurodiverse people can usually handle that pretty well. And people who are neurotypical usually can't. So that I find that a lot of the dating tips and tools are very dedicated to a certain brain type, the neurotypical brain type. And that, you know, they use that as a scale to be able to try and teach people how to be seductive. But you could be seducing somebody, but you're masking the whole time if you're neurodiverse. Room for curiosity, though, right? So you might have like 10 special interests or going at one time. So talking about one would be cool, especially let's say if you are into wine corks and you happen to be at a wine tasting when you meet somebody, or you've taken them there on the first date, and you're like, did you know that all these different wine corks have different purposes? Like different, I don't know what they do. I'm guessing that they're made out of maybe different cork. They might have different densities. Maybe they have different abilities to hold scent or moisture levels or sugar content. I don't know. But now I'm curious, is anybody who's out there listening like an expert on wine corks? I feel like I need to know more. Do connect. I'd love to hear more about wine corks from an expert. All right, guys, I don't even know where the wine cork tangent came from, but you know, it's fascinating. Let's talk. So give a little mystery, but also give information. Again, it depends on who you're dating and how their brain operates. So their brain operates differently than yours. You might find that you're not attracting them. That's A-okay. They might not work well for you in the long run. If you find that your quirks are fascinating to a person, you might find that you're actually going to keep them around and attract them in the long run. Another very common technique is what's called mirroring. Mirroring in body language. So watching the body language. If somebody's like pulling back on you, then that's not the time to like lean in and see if they're going to be more attracted. If they're like getting up and walking away in the middle of a date, not necessarily time to follow them. Although I did date a guy in high school, and I think I've told this story before, and like just in the middle of a drink, he's like, I have to run. And then he ran and he came back and there you go. That did happen. But I didn't chase him. I just like was like, he said he'll be back. He's got to run. He'll be back. Okay, I'll wait. And I did. And he came back. So he just needed to get stuff out of his system. And so body language in general will say a lot of things, whether somebody's looking at you, whether they're engaging, how their arms are placed. Are they sitting with their arms crossed, closed, closing their heart? They might have cold hands when they're doing that, because I sometimes stick my fingers under my armpits to warm them up, and it's not a defensive thing. It's just keeping them warm. They might have their legs completely crossed, twisted like a pretzel, so they're, you know, closing off some lower energies, or they might be uncomfortable and in pain, right? So not every body language is exactly what it appears to be. But one of the things you can do is mimicry, right? So if the person is leaning in slightly, then you lean in slightly. If they put their hand on the table, you put your hand on the table. If they start to move closer to you, then you move closer to them. Mimicry, especially if you're not really sure how the person feels, mimicking what they do can help open the conversation and help them feel more attracted to you as well, because you're giving the subtle cues that will help them feel like you're interested. So, whew, when we come back, we're going to talk about more techniques that we can play with for seduction. So you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica, every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time, on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. What we're talking about today is seduction and the science behind seduction. And one of the greatest sciences we have is this, to me, is the science of the mind, because the mind is so mysterious and there's so much going on. The science and psychology behind that. So it's also our feelings, our emotions, and how we attract people through our actions are all very fascinating. And there's also biochemistry that goes on too, which we'll talk about a little later on. But in the meantime, we've been talking about different things we can do with our bodies. You know, we're talking about posture, also breathing, being able to have like a calm breath that shows that you're present and available, along with being able to look somebody in the eye, which we did talk about being, it can be difficult, but also practicing it can be helpful. And if you're with somebody who doesn't mind not staring at you, because maybe they're as neurodiverse as you are, then it's a-okay if you don't have the capacity to look each other in the eye. But if you're with somebody who feels that they need that, and you're trying your best, if they get upset with you for that, then I think they just need to know that your brain doesn't operate the same way, and looking at somebody may be incredibly stressful for you. So if they can understand you and appreciate you for who you are and how you show up, that is a gift. So one of the things I wanted to also bring up is how we identify ourselves as seductive beings. And there are several ways, but I'm going to bring to you the four main ways that are generally talked about and this can be helpful for you to help to be able to identify your seductive identity, as well as identifying what kind of seduction you enjoy. So the four main archetypes are playful, mysterious, dominant, and nurturing. And I'll give you a little lowdown on each. So playful is where you're flirty and fun and spontaneous, and you can use things like humor and teasing and being light about who you are in life, right? It can be an example of that is like somebody who's a little bit of a trickster and keeps things unpredictable and engaging. And sometimes we can have multiple ways of being seductors, seductresses. So playful, flirty, fun, and spontaneous. And I would love to hear what you guys think, just out of curiosity, in the comments, if you're listening, whether it's anywhere that you can write comments. After you've listened to this, I'd love to hear what you think your seduction is. And out of curiosity too, I'd love to see how you perceive me as how I would think of myself. I know how I think of myself. As a seductor, seductress, seduction, all that jazz. But I would love to hear what you guys think. And maybe you're like, you're not seductive at all. But the thing is, if you're listening to my show, I somehow seduced you into listening to it. So gotcha. And you're welcome. So next is mysterious, which is an enigmatic, deep, and intriguing kind of person. It's like, I think it's that bad boy kind of feeling that some people look at and they're like, what is he into? Is he selling drugs or does he run a business? What does he do? That mysterious, there's more to it. That's kind of a simplified version, but you may feel like you're really drawn into the person because they seem to be so mysterious that nobody knows anything about them. And you want to be that person who gets to know that secret part of them. And they tend to be people who are quiet and they have an intense presence, and others can't really figure out, but they're drawn to them. So I'll tell you after how I see my husband too. So dominant is somebody who is confident, assertive, and commanding, and they take control and inspire admiration through power, leadership, and decisiveness. It's usually the alpha who is a natural leader, and people are attracted to the person taking the lead. Although sometimes what can happen with dominant is it can become overbearing at times. So being able to be an excellent leader who also listens, right? So it's not just making the choices all the time, not necessarily always taking control, but definitely being able to lead with kindness. So then we have nurturing, which is another kind of seduction, which is the warm, caring, and deeply connected person. They're deeply connected to themselves and to others, and they seduce through emotional intimacy, through kindness, and making others feel cherished and important. So some examples of those kinds of people are gentle, affectionate people who make others feel truly seen and truly valued. So I'm curious, what do you think you are? Are you playful? Are you mysterious? Are you dominant? Are you nurturing? Are you a little bit of everything? Are you more one than the other? Do you feel like you're none of those things? Just curious. And would you say that you're something else? Maybe you're a different kind of seduction that wasn't listed or isn't one of the common four. So maybe next week I'll tell you where I feel that I fall. Actually, if you comment on different sites on that, I will re-comment to you if you're right or not, and I'll let you know if I agree with the type of seduction, the seduction type that I think I am, and what you think I am. I'm curious. So what you can also do is use those descriptions that I gave you. And if some of them kind of feel like they fit, write down those description words to help you describe yourself as a seductor. So especially if you're, say, you're writing maybe a Tinder profile or something. So for example, if I was writing a Tinder profile for my husband, I'm going to bring him up. If I was writing a profile for him, I'd say that he's intriguing, that he's confident, and that he's warm and caring. So if I said that, you might be like, well, that doesn't sound like all the descriptions of one particular type of person. No, he's got mystery. He's got a little bit of dominance. He's got nurturing as well. And so there's a blend that he has going on, and using those words can help define who you are so that other people can recognize your qualities, especially the qualities you feel like you are. And then in that, they'll know if that energy matches for them. Because as much as I see myself as more particularly one or two qualities, you know, the thing is, I might be attracted to different qualities that are not the ones that I have, the different energies or archetypes that I'm not. I may actually be attracted to those other kinds. So write down those words for you, because they're going to help you to understand yourself more and how and why you attract people. And then if there are qualities that I'd mentioned that you would like to have, but you don't have yet, and you would like to be able to work on how to have those qualities, again, you can always connect with myself. And or we have a lot of coaches on Inspired Choices Network. So you can always go listen to some other shows if you're more attracted to work with some of the other coaches to help bring out those qualities in you. By all means, go for it. So another one of the things to do is to learn how to read social cues, which is really helpful. So sometimes people don't read social cues at all, and it's like, oh, no. That didn't work. So if somebody is giving you the social cue that they're trying to get away from you, probably means that they're not interested. So don't keep going towards them, and don't keep being and like, don't bug them. That's the easiest way to put it. Just don't bug them. And then if you can notice that there are certain cues that they are offering, and you do approach them, and they're like, oh, I don't know, I didn't know I was giving those clues. There are a lot of times people have become so used to seducing that they don't know that they're doing it. And as a result, they end up attracting everybody and anybody with very little boundaries connected to that. And so as a result, you might think that they're available, but they're not, because they've given you all the cues that say they are. However, they're just so used to it, they're just like the walking seductress or seductor, that they have no idea that they're even seducing at the time, because they're not aware of it. So using some awareness is helpful for sure, especially if you are the seducer. Be aware if you've got that like really ramped up and turned on, you're like, I'm in seductor mode. Is it appropriate in that moment to be doing that? Or did you just walk in a wedding and steal the husband? Try not to do that. So we're almost coming to our next commercial break. So I'm not going to get too bogged down on some extra tools. But another tool would be that you could engage in social settings, for example, with people, to be able to, like, going places, going to different events, going to they often have like singles gatherings or like different dating venues sort of situations going on, speed dating or networking of any kind. Just notice the environment and notice what's going on and use a lot of observation. Watch people. Watching people is amazing. Even watching other people as they try and seduce each other can help you learn a lot about seduction. So sitting back and observing people in, dance clubs, bars, wherever people are going to try and hit on each other, sit back and watch. It's fascinating. And you can always journal those interactions because maybe you're learning from them. So you can learn, like, I was watching this guy and he tried to do this and that didn't totally work at all. You might see different interactions on TV shows too, as in a way to observe how people are trying to seduce each other. And not everything on TV is going to work, guys, but if you feel like you want to try some of the different things that actors and actresses are doing on movies and such to seduce each other, go ahead and try, but a lot of them are probably not going to work. Unless you're Jamie from Outlander, and then it probably will. So we're going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So we've been talking about different things that are all the like qualities that are seductive, different things to do to create seduction. And then there's a very real reality of something that we don't necessarily have control over, which is our hormones. And the hormones of especially dopamine and oxytocin are ones that we're gonna be talking about tonight. So dopamine being that hormone that brings in excitement and novelty and pleasure, and oxytocin, the bonding, trust, security hormone, they are gonna be, you want the excitement first and then you want the bonding as well. So how do we do that? Like, what are some things we can do? So in order to have more dopamine in your body, one of the things you want to do, so these are all happy hormones, by the way. So dopamine and oxytocin. We also have serotonin and endorphins, but we're going to talk about dopamine and oxytocin particularly right now. So with dopamine being the excitement chemical, it creates the thrill of the chase. It creates the excitement of new things. So if that's true, what is it that, what is it that you could do in order to bring on the dopamine? So because a lot of people are looking for adventure and looking for new, and we get dopamine hits all the time from, especially if you're watching a lot of videos online and you're constantly scrolling and getting your dopamine hit from TikTok, then you're going to need sometimes bigger dopamine hits in life, because the drops after having dopamine highs that are really fast coming at you, your whole body is going to be in these dopamine highs, and it's going to need to find a way to create a normal level of dopamine with human beings and human interaction. So you might even resort to things that are more dangerous in a way. just to get that level of excitement going. So you might need like adventure dates. You might need things that are completely brand new or even somewhat dangerous. So what I would recommend doing is try not to require that much dopamine to get excited. So if you are, you know, using things like online gaming or social media to get your dopamine hits, limit that to under 10 minutes a day, and then make sure that your body is going to be able to like regenerate, restore itself, and find excitement in other things. Otherwise, you're going to constantly be looking and not be able to be present. So on your dates, you're going to be like, where's the next hit? Where's the next hit? I need my fix, instead of being able to be present with your partner. And if you can't be present, then there's this, it's not very seductive. It's not very attractive. And the constantly feeling like you're on the go, 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 got to try a new thing is going to make your partner also feel like everywhere you are with them that you don't want to be there. And that's not necessarily the case, but it can feel like that. So being able to be on adventures, have dates, give surprises of different kinds, and they don't have to be elaborate or expensive or anything like that. They can just be a fun, small adventures that you can have together. And then we've got the oxytocin, which is the bonding chemical. And that's the one that strengthens your connection and trust with people. So when, you know, if your oxytocin is low, you're going to find that you don't trust your partner. You're going to probably find that you're not bonding very well with your partner either. And it may create a lot of stress in the relationship. So when we look at what we can do for example, for bringing in more oxytocin, you can keep it really simple. You can start with non-sexual touch, even though sexual touch is great too, and it'll bring in oxytocin. We want to start with non-sexual touch. So what is that? It's like touching the shoulders repeatedly to help ground the body. And not everybody's going to like this, so the method might be different for everyone. You might put your hand on their middle of their chest, not on their nipples. You're not going from nothing to like stroking the nipples or, you know, stroking the clit. You want to bring it in slowly so that you're helping ground the body and make the person know that you're there, you're not going anywhere. You're safe. They're safe. They feel like secure that you're going to be there. So you're able to bond with them, and that you do this for an extended period of time also will have them feel reassured that you're not going anywhere. Because a lot of times people will only let that oxytocin out of their body. Not that they're in control of it, but it will only show up when they've had a lot of time to feel nurtured, loved, and connected with. So having eye contact, even if it's for starting with 30 seconds, looking at your partner. So look at their left eye or their right eye, pick one. Some people will say right eye, some people will say left eye, whatever. Pick an eye, look at it, and spend like 30 seconds, which may be alarming to you when you first do it, but just to be able to deepen your connection with your partner, touch them non-sexually, or even if you're just beginning to date, right? Non-sexual touch. And you can ask, which is really sexy. Is it okay if I touch your hand? Super sexy to have somebody ask you for whether it's okay to be touched, because permission is so sexy. Even if you're dominant and you think you have a right to do that, be sexy about it and ask. Is it okay if I touch your hand? Oh yeah, I love that. Is it okay if I touch your shoulders? You know, asking permission is fantastic. Knowing a method is helpful, and knowing that the method is non-sexual touch. If you're not familiar with it, it's something that Masters and Johnson worked on to be able to help people who had sexual dysfunction. And they talked about using non-sexual touch as a way to actually help the energies build, and so the bodies feel safe enough to be sexual. So what else do we want to do, guys? We want to have adventures. We want to breathe together. We want to be together. We want to seduce each other. Let's start doing it, because
thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.